Good morning. My name is Richard Hunter, and I'm the liturgist this morning for the divine service at Asbury United Methodist Church. We welcome everyone, and especially the visitors. And just a note to the visitors, unless you were born into Asbury, we were all visitors at one time. My wife and I visited 23 years ago with three children and decided to make Asbury our church home and have never been happier. So to all the visitors, we welcome you. A couple of announcements this morning. Later this morning, immediately following this service in the warehouse, Cheryl Cates, our financial manager, will be talking about e-giving, automatic drafts, and how you can make purchases on Amazon and allow for a small percentage of that purchase to come back to Asbury at no additional cost to you. So if you're interested or plan to shop this holiday season with Amazon, come by and hear all about it. Refreshments will be served in the warehouse also. This Thursday at 10:30 a.m. in the warehouse, it will be Senior Game Day. The Altar Guild will have their bake sale next Sunday in the Wilson Activity Center. And we want to remind our members that if you have not turned in your pledge card, please do so. They're trying to finalize our budget for 2016 and need those cards to be turned in. So, I invite you at this time to pass the peace of Christ to one another. Please stand and join in the call to worship. Trust in the Lord.
The Lord our God is an everlasting rock.
Worship the Lord in holy array.
Blessed be God, because he has not rejected our prayer or removed his steadfast love from us.
Please join in our hymn of praise, God of Grace and God of Glory, number 577. Modern affirmation of faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare.
We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the grounds of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that the faith should manifest itself in service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Today? Okay. All right. I want to tell you a story about Morris, the forgetful monkey. Okay, here we go. Morris the monkey was a very forgetful monkey, and he pretty much forgot everything. He forgot to put away his toys. He forgot to brush his teeth. He even forgot to say his prayers. But one day, Morris's mother said to him, "Be careful, because when you're out in the jungle, there is a lion that will eat you for lunch. And because you're so forgetful, I'm going to put a string around your finger to remind you." Then Morris went out to play. It was a long time before he saw the baboon. The baboon noticed the string on Morris's finger and he said, "Why do you have a string tied around your finger?" Morris said, "To help me remember." The baboon was impressed and he went on his way. A little while later, Morris saw his friend, the elephant. The elephant noticed the string on Morris's finger, and he said, "Why do you have a string?" Morris said, "To help me." The elephant said, "Elephants don't need strings. An elephant never forgets." And he went on his way. Later, Morris ran into his friend, the parrot. And of course, the parrot noticed the string and said, "Why do you have a string on your finger?" Morris said, "To help me." The parrot said, "Remember what?" And Morris went, "I forgot." And the parrot laughed, and he went away. A little while later, Morris was skipping down the path along, when along came the lion. Morris noticed that the lion had a string tied around his paw. So he said to the lion, "Why do you have a string tied around your paw?" And the lion said, "To remind me to eat lunch." And so all of a sudden, Morris remembered why he had a string tied to his finger, and he jumped up into the trees and he swung away as fast as he could. And ever since that day, Morris never needed that string again. Do we forget things? We do. We forget our shoes, maybe in the doorway, our backpacks as we come in, and we just drop everything. Do you leave your dishes out? Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Do you clean your room? Forget to clean your room? Make your bed? Those kind of things. You know, and it's hard because every day we forget to do things, but there's one certain person that we need to not forget every day. And who do you think that is? God. And we do. Because we forget about God on the days when things are going extremely well. And then when it's time that we have something going on or we're struggling and we have a test over stuff that we may not understand, that's when we bring God back into our lives. So I want you to think about that. If you need to tie a string around your finger, remember that that one person that we need to not forget is God. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. We forget things all the time. Help us never to forget you. We pray this in his son's holy name we pray. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer, please keep Patty Shoemaker, Harold Smith, June Glazier in your prayers. And also keep the people of France in your prayers. Now, let us pray. Lord, it is hard for us to understand why some people do such horrible things to your children. We ask you to bring your comfort and peace to those families with their loss of loved ones and to all who were injured in Paris. Help the leaders around the world to work together on putting an end to this senseless killing of innocent people around the world. Help our leaders understand there is more that unites us than divides us. We want to embrace you, God, so help us to turn away from the sin of our life, to reject what the world tells us we are, hopeless, weak, ugly, and meaningless, and to place you as our focus to how we live, love, interact with others, and give of our lives for the growth of your kingdom. Let us join in the prayer your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We have some very exciting news to share. Our Family to Family campaign goal was 250 boxes, and I'm pleased to report that 250 boxes were taken. That means 250 families will receive a Christmas dinner this year. So we've reached that goal, and we're going to set a new one. We ask for 50 more so that we can complete 300 boxes this year. This is a challenge, but I think we can do it. If you think you can do another box or have not yet gotten a box, please go back to the Wilson Activity Center and take a box and a green envelope, which has a list of food items and the instructions. Now, this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the intergathering. We gather at the Rice Depot to help volunteer for hungry families in Arkansas. There are a variety of tasks to be done. When you arrive on Saturday morning, you will need to sign a consent form, so look for Reverend Chase at the intergathering. Now, let us pray. Lord, help us to remember that you are enough, that your love, grace, mercy, and life is enough. Help us not to be greedy, to live in excess, but to extend and embrace the spirit of giving, generosity, and sharing in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remain standing for the hymn of meditation, God of Love and God of Power, number 578.
This morning, it's once again my pleasure and privilege to share with you from the Word of God as we go to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel is written so very differently as you study it and read through it. It doesn't seem to be quite as concerned about the chronological events of Christ's life as much as it is provoking us to interpretation of the life of Christ. So with that being born in our minds, let us go to John 1, verses 10 through 12. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated All Saints Sunday. We remembered some marvelous, wonderful people that have left us physically in our presence over the last year, perhaps over the last many years for those of us who remembered others that have passed on before us, that have definitely been saints in our lives. A couple of years ago, we celebrated the 125th anniversary of the founding of Asbury United Methodist Church. These remembrances are very important to us as we think about our scripture reading today. Remembrances, who we are, from whence we came, and who we are called to be. Our heritage is a very important thing. It's a godly thing. It brings meaning to our lives. Over 30 years ago, when Tony and I were planning our wedding, I was naturally interested in seeing the wedding pictures of my grandparents. And so I went to my dad and said, "Where are the pictures of your parents?" And he said, "There are none of when they first got married." And I said, "Well, what about mom's parents?" And he said, "Go ask your mother." So I went to mother, And I said, Mom, Dad says there's no pictures of his parents' wedding. So I want to see pictures of Granny and Granddaddy's wedding. And she looked at me as if she had swallowed a frog. And I said, I know they got married in 1915, and I know there were cameras then. Where are the pictures? And she looked at me like I had asked her the dreaded question of all time. My grandmother had passed away 6 months prior to mine and Tony's wedding. And I just simply wanted to see the pictures. And it seemed as if Mother thought I would never ask that question. And now she was going to have to answer the question. It was as if she was safe to answer the question now with my grandmother's passing. And so she said, there are no wedding pictures. Your grandmother and grandfather eloped. Big family secret. They didn't need to elope. They just wanted to elope in 1915. Our heritage. The more we learn, the more we cherish. The more we understand, the more we understand about ourselves. The more we discover, the more we discover we need to discover more as we go through the journey. We're also richly blessed. Sure, there are days when we feel like that there's more coming down on us, more to deal with than we can possibly bear. And yet we have to understand it's not God's doing. Much of it is our doing. Much of it has to do with our attitudes, our priorities, our lives. So here in this text today, hear these words again. To those who believed in the name of Christ, he gave the right to become his children. God loves us. God created us to be his children. What a great privilege that is for each and every one of us. But as we go through our lives as children, we make mistakes. It doesn't take very long to go through the Old Testament and see some of the characters in the Bible and identify rather quickly with those same traits within ourselves. Gideon. Gideon was called by God to be a messenger to the enemy. God found him hiding, of all places, in a wine press. We won't ask what he was doing, but he was hiding in a wine press. Gideon lost the game of hide and seek, however, from God, and God won with Gideon then going, fighting and conquering the enemy. Jonah. Now, Jonah didn't hide from God. Jonah ran away from God. But God saw that pride within Jonah was a huge thing which Jonah couldn't quite swallow himself, and the whale tried to swallow all that pride and had to throw it up. In the New Testament, there's Nathanael. Now, Nathanael is kind of hiding out from Jesus. But Jesus calls Nathanael out due to his cockiness, because Nathanael says to Jesus, ah, here he comes. Can anything come good out of Nazareth? Jesus spellbinds Nathanael pretty quickly with his wit and his wisdom, and Nathanael becomes a great disciple for Jesus the Christ. Martha. Martha's so busy trying to do the right thing that she misses the right thing. That's just a sampling of folks from the Holy Word of God. You find yourself in any one of those? I certainly do. Life's tough, and sometimes we find ourselves building this invisible stronghold around us to protect ourselves, our emotions, our thoughts, our plans, and we start to lose trust in those around us. We start to lose trust in ourselves. We start to lose trust in God. We find that the enemy territory around us calls for us to have this protective stronghold around us. But the thing is sometimes we don't realize the protective stronghold is our own self. So what's the secret to this enemy territory? I think it's to remove the focus from ourselves and always take our focus onto God. Remembering what God has done for you. When was the last time you actually took a stroll down your spiritual memory lane? We're about to approach the holidays. It doesn't take but just a second, and we're back at 1990 or another year, and we think about, yes, that was the Christmas that we da-da-da. What about your spiritual memory? Do you remember the time when you knelt at the altar and gave your life to Christ? Do you remember the time that you came in prayer because you were broken? Do you remember a particular communion that was meaningful to you? Do you remember a particular message that grabbed your heart and changed you for just a moment? Have you been down your spiritual memory lane? John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." The Bible reading that we've just read tells us who we are and to whom we belong, and to encourage us to claim and claim again our inheritance. You're loved. You're redeemed. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God in you to fight any battle you face. My heart breaks with everyone else in this room as to what happened in France. And we think, how many more times can this kind of scenario play out? And I look at Christ. And I look at the battles Christ fought and fights still for us. But there's a difference in the way Christ taught us to fight and in the way the world demands us to fight. And I don't know what the answer is. Yeah, eventually you run out of cheeks. I got that. And if a terrorist was aiming a gun at my daughter, you better believe I'd stand in front. But I also recall, right after 9/11, when everyone in our church came, I had more people than on a Christmas Eve coming to pray. And I thought, wasn't it tragic and yet wonderful that in tragedy, people turned to God? And I remembered the account in the gospel accounts where the disciples come to Jesus and they're frustrated because they couldn't remove the demon from the one who was so ill and possessed by that same demon. And they said, "Lord, why couldn't we do this?" You remember what Jesus said? Some things can only be removed by prayer. A death and another death, a violent act and another violent act. Again, thankfully, I don't run any country. But there's one thing you and I can do to combat this violence. And it's to pray. Amen. I didn't hear that amen loud enough. There you go. When I was a little girl, my friend and I used to love to roam the woods. It became like a game. We went on a natural treasure hunt, if you will, picking up loose fallen bird feathers, seeing little tiny turtles. we started collecting the locust shells that hung from the pine trees. We had such wonderful, innocent times. One day, we came across a stronghold. One day, we found something we couldn't believe was there. In the middle of a thicket of pines, some children, obviously a little older than we were, had made an imaginative stronghold, taking the many, many pine poles that they had found, and they had made a fort. And we enjoyed from time to time just playing like it was our stronghold, it was our fortress, and we were fighting the enemy. And it made me wonder what had happened in the life of those older children that they decided they needed a fort in the woods. Did they need a refuge? Did they need a place to run away from their parents every now and then? Did they need to play spy? What was going on in their minds? Throughout the Old Testament, whenever the Hebrews did what God commanded, God protected them. Hear this from Joshua 5:1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites and all the kings of the Canaanites heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan, their heart melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the children of Israel. Their heart melted. There's only one thing that I know of that melts a human heart, and that's the love of God. The presence of our loving God. And when we pray, we need to pray for those who have a lust and a hunger for terror, that their hearts will be melted, that God can do that, even if our God is not the God they profess. Last time I checked, I worship the greatest God ever. Amen. But I liked this from Joshua because devotion had prompted divine protection. It's a good reminder to us all that we shouldn't face our enemy, whatever that may be, with another enemy, perhaps like self, like pride or fear. We must face whatever enemy we have with the strongest weapon we have, and that is God Almighty. Colossians 2:15 says, God stripped the spiritual rulers and the powers of their authority. For with the cross he won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. That reminds me very much of the scripture that he chose the foolish to shame the wise. And to the wise, why, they appeared foolish. How are you doing right now? Is there an enemy, a struggle that you find yourself combating? Do you feel a sense of despair? Do you have a thought of defeat of something? Are you in that valley and find it mighty difficult to think about ever reaching the top of the mountain? Stronghold is a false premise, denying God's promise. When you have God, you don't need a stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says it sets itself up against the knowledge of God. In Sunday school, I was visiting today, it was brought up the response of Pilate to Jesus. We often look at this during Lent, but today we looked at it, and it was quite appropriate. Pilate was asking, so you're a king of the Jews. And Jesus said, well, it is as you say, but my kingship is not of this world. But those who hear my voice hear the truth. And Pilate said, what's truth? Strongholds set us up against the truth of God. It attempts to magnify the problem, to draw us to the problem, to try to bear us up, barricade us from the problem. And it minimizes God's ability to solve it. It seems like back in the 70s, those self-help books, 80s, the 90s, there were a lot of them. And they brought out this one thing that we're obviously aware of because we all do it. It brought out about these mental tapes that we play in our mind so often. It's a recording that, like an earworm, just won't stop. And some of us have some of these tapes playing. God could never forgive me. Well, that's the strong hold of guilt. Bad things always happen to me. Well, that's the strong hold of self-pity. I better be in charge. It'll be less chaotic. Well, that's the stronghold of pride and control. No one loves me. I don't even deserve to be loved. Well, that's the stronghold of rejection. Most Christians don't even recognize these mental traps. They just figure it's part of being who they are. God gives us tools of strength, though. Find you an army of Christian prayer partners and friends. The Word of God. The presence of God. I know that there can be times when we feel like, how do we shake ourselves of this day in and day out persona we have? It's like negativity becomes our second nature. People seem to encourage it. They'll say something, they'll invite you to join in, and before you know it, you're not proud of what you just said or did. Oh, you may love the person that said it, but you're not proud of what they intentionally or non-intentionally invited you to do. How does that change the situation for the better, for us to be negative, for us to hold on to the stronghold? But even more so, how does that glorify God? Isn't that what we're to be about, is glorifying God? Whether it's through the message, whether it's supposed to be through singing, whether it's supposed to be praying, whether it's supposed to be attending worship. Isn't everything to be about glorifying God? And outside of these church walls, isn't everything that we do supposed to be about glorifying God? How we drive in traffic? How we treat one another when we've been having a long day and we're waiting in line at the grocery store and our impatience? How's that glorify God? How's that witness for Christ? I'm closing this. Young teenage fella, just turned 16, had his license, was so proud of it, was borrowing the family car and going on his first car date alone. No more of the parents taking them and dropping them off and picking them up. Well, the big night came, and he came into the room, and it happened just like he thought it would. His dad gave him the lecture of, now, son, you know, you have a great responsibility when you drive this car. Use extra care going to the young lady's house. Observe the speed limit. Take your time. Yes, Dad. Yes, Dad. The mom, oh, son, you look so nice. Now, don't forget to be a gentleman. Treat her like a lady. He got through both of those lectures, was ready to go. Headed out the door, and one final instruction from his dad. He said, son, remember who you are. With a nod, he was out the door, and he got in the car, sat behind the steering wheel, turned the ignition on, and that phrase by his dad just kind of haunted him. He thought, yeah, I'm a member of this family. I've been trusted with the best car that this family has. I've been trusted by our state to drive this car. And I've got a nice gal that trusts me to treat her well and to have a safe, nice evening. What I do tonight, how I do it, says a lot about who I am. I believe that that's what God is saying to you and me today and every day of our lives. Remember who you are. You're a member of my family, God says, and I love you. And you represent me and my son, and we care about you. We care so much about you that he died for you, and I gave him up to do that. So watch what you do, will you? Watch how you do it, please. It says a lot about you, but it says a lot about me and my son and what we came here to do. So today, think with me about, who are the people that shaped your life? Think with me about how much God loves you. Think with me about how much Christ went through for you and goes through the heartache with you and for you every day. But your challenge is also, now, who are you shaping? Who are you shaping? How are you living out your faith that makes a difference and that someone is noticing? Remember who you are and whose you are. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And on that note, I'd like for us to sing an old, old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. Aunt Gail, I want you to give it some pep now. Because we are marching out into this world with a conviction and a commitment to love one another and to pray this world through everything. Let us be standing.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a joy and blessing to worship with every single one of you today. My prayer is that we go forward in this day and every day with the greatest weapon possible, and that's our faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. May we just bathe this world in prayer. Now may you go in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen.